One of the facets of worship in that first century Christians were involved in the first century church was in singing. Some 1900 years later, we're still doing the same thing. We are singing, and that's an important part of our worship unto God. We continue this tradition. We uphold that this heritage that we see from the first century. And as we do so, we try to edify one another, and we set another goal of glorifying God. And I guess our talk this morning is more about the idea of how we accomplish these goals in our singing. And the first thing that I would thought about is that we need to have a song in our hearts. Singing songs in worship involves knowing God. And we know God through the Scriptures. The Bible is God's self-revelation. And one of our purposes in studying God's Word is to know God. And that gives us things in our hearts that we can use in our praise to God. We learn that God is our Creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We learn about God's power. He's omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. For there's not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. That's the omniscience or the all-knowingness of God. We also learn that God is our Savior. In Matthew 1:21, an angel is speaking to Joseph about Mary, and he said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." We also learn that God the Son will be our judge, and really God the Father through the Son, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. As we learn these things about God, this gives us a scriptural vocabulary for our prayers and to God, but not only that, songwriters can use these ideas from the Scriptures as lyrics for spiritual songs. We even have inspired songs in the Psalms, and when I say the Psalms in the Bible, not only in the Book of Psalms, but there are actually Psalms outside the Book of Psalms. Moses had two songs or Psalms, and neither one of them is in the Book of Psalms. But we can praise God, built upon this knowledge of Scripture in our prayers and in our singing, whether private or public. We can follow the ideas of songwriters by thinking about their lyrics as we sing. And so we prepare our hearts, coming to know God through the Scriptures. And then as we prepare our hearts, we can really mean the things that we sing, just like we can really mean the words that we are praying unto God. And so this is descriptive in our singing of singing in the Spirit. But also, hopefully, the words of the song are truth as well. And so when we put these together, we have the idea that Jesus said when talking to the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4:24, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Those who know God can sing about God. And so we go back to the idea that the Bible reveals that God is our Creator. And so we can sing, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art." When we think about all the omnis, the all-sufficient power of God, all the knowledge, He's all-knowing. We can sing, "Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God." When we learn that He is our Savior, we can sing, wounded for me, there on the cross, He was wounded for me. And we can learn that He's the judge to the Scriptures, and so we can sing, "There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come?" Also, as we see how great that God is, and we can sing about that, at the same time as we can learn from Scripture that we are very small and we are very weak by comparison to God. And so the scripture tells us, David speaking by inspiration, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Or in Psalm 113, who is like unto the Lord our God? Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? And 1 Peter 5, 6-7, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now we can take these scriptures, and then we can use them as a foundation for songs that we sing. And so we can sing, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Or we could sing, yes, for me he careth with loving tender care. Yes, with me he shareth each burden and each fear. Again, as we learn more with scriptures about God, we can understand his superior wisdom. We can understand our need for his word to guide our lives. Isaiah says, my thoughts, and really God through Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Or we might remember Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then songwriters translate this in words for us to sing, like the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And actually, this is one of those inspired psalms. These are direct words from Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Or, give me the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of these realms below. That lamp of safety or the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. But not all spiritual songs are happy songs. Songs about the crucifixion of Christ are actually very somber songs, and to be sung in that way, really depending upon what part of the song that we're singing. But we need to have prepared hearts that know about Jesus' agony and empathize him as we sing. There's a mixture of sorrow, seeing the Son of God suffering like that and the agony that he would endure. But also there's a righteous indignation perhaps in our hearts against the betrayers, the deniers, the mockers, the crucifiers. And then we have mixed with that an appreciative gratitude that God would take human form and die on the cross. Or maybe the idea that God would not, Jesus, God the Son, would not use the power that he had to avoid the cross. And so there are a lot of things that come mixed in with this. And also remembering that he is doing this to redeem us from our sins. So words of song about the sacrifice of Jesus can kind of take us on a roller coaster of emotions. The main thing is we have our hearts prepared, because we know about the crucifixion. We understand what it was for and understand the agony that Jesus went through. And so we can sing, your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Or we could sing, a night of envy, plots and fears led to betrayal, sin and tears. To the cross went our dear Lord, though pure from sin's black deadly sword. From victory to victory we will follow faithfully. We will humbly follow thee on the path to victory. Or we can sing, alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a one as I? Also, there is an abiding peace, a joy in our hearts to every person who is a Christian. Every person who is in fellowship with God is building upon knowing that we're in fellowship with Christ and knowing that we're in fellowship with all the faithful of all ages. And so we can sing having joy here and also sing in hope for the eternal joy of heaven. And so we might sing, earthly wealth and fame may never come to me, and a palace fair here mine may never be, but come what may, if Christ for me doth care, anywhere is home if he is only there. Anywhere is home, let come and go what may, anywhere I roam, he keeps me all the way. Or we could sing, I'm happy today. Oh, yes, I'm singing today. In Jesus Christ, I'm praying today because he's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm happy today. What we can do is take what we learn from the scriptures, and then we, especially following the lead of songwriters, can put them into words that we sing. And so the idea is to have a song in our hearts, but not leave it in our hearts, but to sing the song that we have in our hearts. And so that's the kind of the winning combination, singing what we have in our hearts. And so Colossians 3 and verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's the word in your hearts, and you learn about God in that way, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. In other words, you don't keep all this bottled up inside of you. You release this and what you know about God and the praise that you had for God, or maybe the agony that you feel in empathizing with Jesus, you let it out by singing. You may be singing in the shower. You may be singing with brethren in assemblies of the church. You may be singing in homes of friends. I went out and played golf a while back with a couple of friends, and I showed them the song that I'd written, and we got out there in the parking lot, and one of them said, let's sing it. And I said, okay, let's sing it. So out in the parking lot of Subway, we had three men out there singing a spiritual song. So, well, we're singing. That's a part of what we do. Singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It should be a natural and a vital and a rewarding part of our lives. David was a person who was determined to sing. He says, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Or Psalm 89 and verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. There's a song that uses part of that as the lyrics that we sing. And you think about David's life. When he was threatened by wicked enemies, his life was on the line. David could logically plead unto God for his life because, in essence, he could say, you know, if they take my life, there's going to be one less singer on this earth. And, of course, he wanted to have one more singer to continue to give glory to God's name. And so the idea is to have a song in your heart, to sing it, and then keep on singing it. Have your heart fixed that as long as I live, I'm going to plan to keep on singing. And, of course, it doesn't have to stop in this life when you really think about it. One of the saddest things to witness is when someone stops singing. Someone who enthusiastically involved himself in praising God and knew about God and let this come out from his heart, but then he decided to stop coming to church. Perhaps you know somebody like that, and how sad it makes us feel when we see that. You know, someone who was singing and was so, had a, such a, maybe a full heart, it seemed like, full of God and knowing about God and singing, and where there was singing, there's silence. And that's sad, and we hope, you know, that's a reason to try to restore someone, so that they'll be singing again. But even sadder is the same person stopped having God's song in his heart, and that's really sad. You know, we have some young people that really bellow it out, and I love to hear that. And it's not a big leap of faith to know that God is smiling too when he hears that, and that's great. And the thing that we plead with our young people, never stop singing like that. Never stop singing hymns of praise to God. Never lose the song in your heart. But for all of us, let's let our singing be something we love to do here, something we plan to continue to do and enjoy in eternity before the throne of God. And, you know, as we do that, that can help us to keep going and help us not to ever stop singing, but help us keep going through the hills and valleys of life as we wait for Christ's return. We have maybe just a moment, so instead of just talking about singing, I thought we might
look at 452, and if you would stand and maybe sing one verse, number 400.